Be in Ephesians chapter 4, if you want to go ahead and open up to that passage. It's been a while since we sang that last song that Steve led us in, and I love that song. And you think about the going over Jordan, only going over home. You look back and you think about that time when God had been promising for generations that His people were going to be home. He had given that land to them, to Abraham. He said, I have already given this land to your descendants. They can't possess it just yet, but one day they'll be there and they'll get to go to their home, to their land. And one day they possessed it when they went over Jordan and they were able to possess the land that God had given them. And you start thinking about our life today, and you think about one day we're going to go over that Jordan, not literal, physical Jordan River, but over that place, that promise that one day we'll be at home forever. What a powerful song. I love that song. Every time I sing it, I think about that. It's time, one of these days, it's going to be my time. One of these days, it's going to be your time to get to pass over Jordan. Those floodwaters of this world are going to separate just like they did for Joshua when we led the people. And right into the promised land, we're going to be ushered. God waiting on us to welcome us home. Won't that day be awesome and wonderful? Ephesians chapter 4, we've been talking a little bit about unity in a couple of weeks, and I want to share another thought about unity in this passage in Ephesians 4. I think it's interesting when we start talking about unity and how wonderful unity, the idea of unity really is, and how all of us working together or a unified effort, how wonderful that looks and how good it looks when everything comes together. When things happen the way they're supposed to happen, how much better it looks than when it's not. And I think about this passage in Ephesians 4, and it talks about the power of unity. It talks about when unity happens and the power that's gained from that. And the reality is, in this section of Scripture, he talks about maturity. And when unity is sought, and when unity is gained, then there is a maturity that happens that can't happen any other way. And that's what he's talking about in this passage. In chapter 4, it talks about him, about God giving. In verse 11, he said he gave some to be apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers. And he says there are gifts given to the body, and there are gifts given to the body to mature it, to equip it to become. And if you were here this morning in Bible class in the auditorium, we talked about some of this then. But we want to go back over a little bit of it. He says, so these things were given. God gave these gifts to us as a church for a reason. And he says he gave those to equip the church, to equip this body to be everything that God wanted it to be, and to make it something that we don't really understand. In the world, we don't see a unity. We don't see those things and the power of unity in the world. Only in Christ can we see the true reality of what unity ends up becoming. To build up the body of Christ, the church, the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, the mature man. This is what he's talking about in this passage. And he says these things will come about. These things will be understood. These things will be enjoyed because God gave gifts to us of those who will help mature the body, that will bring about unity in the church. And without the apostles, without the prophets, there will never be an ability to be unified. We'll never understand unity. We'll never understand the power that unity can bring about in this body without these gifts. But when we see those and we make a commitment to them, then comes the maturity of man, the maturity of all that knowledge and all of those things that he talks about. And then in verse 14 through 16, he says, here are the results of that equipping. Here's the results of that maturity. Here's the results of those things. And he says in verse 14, as a result, we will no longer be children. No longer be children. We'll be mature. And as children, children are always wanting to become adults. They're always wanting to have those decision-making responsibilities. I want to do this. I want to get there. And he says, we'll no longer, once this unity happens in Christ Jesus, once we realize the gift that God has given us to mature us, when that all happens, we'll no longer be children. We'll be adults. We'll be mature. And here is a beautiful picture of the church, all grown up and functioning properly. And you look and you see the power of that church. You see the power of that unity that is because all the individual members to become one with one focus, and that is worshiping and praising our God and living the life that God created us to live. What a beautiful picture. Then he says in verse 15, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. Speaking the truth in love. Here's a result of that unity. Here's a result of that power that we gain by being united. He says we can speak the truth in love. How easy is it to speak the truth to one another? You know, sometimes we need to say things that we don't want to say. Sometimes we have to say something to pull someone to the side. I had this conversation with a young man just recently, and I had to pull him into an office, and I had to talk to him. And I had to tell him some things that he was doing, and some of the things that he said was not okay. You can't behave this way. You can't say these things. You can't talk like this. You can't do this. It's not all right as a Christian. You can't do that. Now, I didn't get up and demean him in front of a room full of people. That doesn't do any good. But I can tell you I had to speak the truth to him, but in love. And before we walked out of the office, he was in tears. He was crying, and he said, I'm so sorry. I said, it's all right. Forget it. Forget that I had to have this conversation, but don't forget what you need to do. I love you, and I appreciate you. And he said the same thing, I love you. Thank you for talking to me. Thank you for helping me and mature me. And later he came back to me, and he talked to me again about some things. And so he's saying, once we become mature, we can speak to one another in love. Even the difficult things, the things that we have a tendency to not want to share, not want to say, but he says, because of our unity in Jesus Christ, there are things we have to say. And we have this ability, once we become mature, to say the things, to speak the truth in love one to another. There are things that need to be said oftentimes that we shy away from. There are things that people need to hear. And when I say people, probably the first thing we do is what? We raise up a mirror and look in that mirror. There are people, reflections in this mirror, who need to hear things that sometimes we don't want to hear. And sometimes we need to be mature enough to be able to speak the truth in love. Now, the truth is not my opinions on things, okay? How favorite colors or this, or as we talked in class about the thermostat this morning. And we agreed or we understood that not everybody is in the same place on where the thermostat should be set. If it was, it would be, I believe it's 60 degrees is as low as it'll go. That's where it should always be. I know that some of you disagree with that. But that's my opinion. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is the truth of God's Word and how we live our life and the way that we treat one another and the things that we say and all of those things that we've heard a lesson after lesson after lesson and we've read and we've had Bible studies over them, and we know those truths of God's Word, those truths, those deep truths of God's Word are the things He's talking about. Once we're mature, we're able to handle that. We're able to have a deep conversation and able to speak the truth in love to one another. We don't go up to someone and say, you're going to hell. That's not how we talk to somebody. Do we share the truth and say, you can't live this life? You can't do those things in life? Yes. Because God wants all people to be saved, and He wants them to know the truth. Verse 16, He says, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. The whole body being fitted together. Once maturity happens, once unity comes about, you think of this big, beautiful picture. How many of you have ever watched an artist begin painting or drawing a picture? Anybody watch? I mean, literally sitting and watching them do it. Have you ever looked at it? Watched someone? I have on several occasions. And I'm looking at that, and there's times I'll even turn like this trying to figure out what it is that they're drawing. I just don't see it. Now, the artist will see it. An artist can see exactly what he's trying or she's trying to do on a canvas when the canvas is just blank. They know what needs to go there. They already have it in their head. God has in His mind what this beautiful picture of a mature, functioning, unified church looks like. And He paints the picture for us throughout His Word so that we can begin seeing it. And you start watching, and each brush stroke and something else new, you start seeing, oh, I see that. And slowly the picture unfolds until the day that the picture is complete. And when that picture is completed and you look at it and you go, how beautiful it really is. And so as we're working, as we're contemplating, as we begin thinking about this church, and He says, when we're unified the way Christ wants us to be and has called for us to be, then we start seeing this picture of every piece, He says, fitted, the whole body being fitted and held together. Every individual part taking place and doing everything it's supposed to do, and how wonderful it looks when it's that way. There are some wonderful results. But here's what I really wanted to talk to you about this morning. This chapter, look at verse 17 and following. Here's where I want us to really spend our time this morning. There's some choices that we now have. When we are mature in Christ, when we become united and a mature person in this unity in Jesus Christ in this body, there are some choices that we can make that we couldn't before. He says in 17 and 18, "So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer as the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart." He says, you have a choice. Listen closely. You have a choice. You no longer have to be ignorant. You no longer have to be unlearned. You no longer have to welcome that ignorance that came from this world and all the things that this world has taught you, just like the Gentiles walking about in the futility of their mind, having no idea what it is about that they're supposed to be living or how to live or relationships or anything else in their life. You don't have to be that person anymore. You don't have to have an ignorant life. You can be enlightened. You can be an understanding person. You don't have to be darkened. You don't have to have a hard heart like they did. You don't have to be callous with all the ungodliness of this world. You don't have to have that. You can be enlightened. You can know the truth. And you remember Jesus said, you can know the truth and the truth will what? The truth will set you free. And what a wonderful picture that God says, now, understand something. I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be unlearned. I don't want you to wander through this life of darkness. I want you to know why you're here. I want you to understand what your life is all about. I want you to understand that your life has meaning, that I created you for something bigger than what you have maybe attained to this point. There's so many quotes, even in children's movies. The new Lion King movie is about to come out, and I can remember watching that movie over and over and over and over and over and over, wearing out multiple VHS tapes, watching that movie with my kids. And I remember them saying, "You are more than you have become." And God says, "You are more than you have become." when we're living according to the knowledge of this world or that ignorance, he says, you don't have to live that way anymore. You can be everything that I've intended for you to be. In verse 22, let's start in 20. But you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as the truth is in Jesus. That in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, I think this is a really strange phrase. It's always hit me about this lust, this strong desire of deceit. We no longer have to be controlled by this world. We no longer have to be controlled by our physical desires of our flesh to find what is truth. You think about, go back and Solomon talks about it. He said, I did everything. I experienced everything in this life. It doesn't matter what kind of pleasure it was. I did it. I had wealth and he had 900 wives or 300 wives and 600 concubines. 900 women in his life. I cannot imagine that. I don't even want to imagine that. But here he is, 900. Okay, he said, I did everything in this world. I experienced and I left nothing, no pleasure out. I tried them all. What did it get you? Absolutely nothing. And at the end of his life, he said, here's what's really important. And that is understanding God. I don't have to be controlled by those lusts of deceit of this world. Of all those pleasures that the world says are okay. When I listen to God and I understand that those former life choices are no longer, they're not important, they're not significant, they're not going to control me anymore. But now, the new self, this new self is going to destroy the old and create the new in the likeness, he says, in the likeness of God, in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Our choice, we don't have to be ignorant anymore. Our choice, we don't have to be controlled by the lusts of deceit of this world. Verse 26, we'll just read from 25 down. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speaking truth one to another with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Now listen what he just said. Paul, how many times do we hear this phrase, be angry? He says, when we're mature, we can actually be angry, and it's okay. But you have to be mature. You have to be ready for that. You cannot allow the anger to well up from all of that old garbage and all that stuff. And it's got to be a righteous anger. It's got to be an anger that you can deal with because God has taught you how to be angry. How many people were angry? You remember Nathan. Nathan was a little bit angry with David when God told him to go. And you tell the king, the man after my own heart, the one who did what he did with Bathsheba, you go and tell him. And so Nathan went to him and he told him the story. You remember that. But he says, King, there was this rich man who had everything, and a poor man only had one little lamb, and he loved that lamb. And the rich man had a neighbor come, or a visitor come, and instead of killing one of his own sheep, he took the only lamb, the lamb that this man loved, and he took it and he prepared it for him. And David said, what? That man should be put to death. And Nathan says, that's you. And Nathan, I can't help but think, was angry at the king who was supposed to be about God's work. He was angry about David's sin. And we can be angry too about sin. We can be that person. Joshua was angry with the people that they wouldn't make the commitment that they were. And he left them with that. You choose today who you're going to serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Jesus was angry when he went into the temple and began overturning tables. He was angry, but he did not sin, as Paul writes here. Be angry, verse 26, and yet do not sin. Very rarely do we hear, be angry. But there are a lot of things in this world we need to learn to be angry about because they take away from who God is. They take away from who we are. They take away from what the church is all about. And we've got to learn to be angry. Our choice. We don't have to be ignorant anymore. We don't have to be controlled by the lusts of deceit of this world. We can be angry at those things that are in opposition to God. We can learn to do those things. In verse 28, he who steals, steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. We also can begin working with purpose. Mature people will work with a purpose. Why do I have a job? It's not to accumulate everything we want to accumulate. That's what he says. It's not about that. But we labor with intent. We labor with a purpose, performing what is good. We go about making this world a better place. That's what our jobs are supposed to be about. If we're not performing something that's good, if we're not making the world a better place in the jobs that we're doing, we probably should stop and think about what we're doing. Is this making this world a better place? That's your choice in the job that you have. We need to become that kind of people. And ultimately, we do it so that we can share with those who have need. You see the maturing. You see the changing from where we were in this world and the way we were described of living that life. And it's no different today than it was 2,000 years ago or 10,000 years ago. It's not any different today than it was then. We struggle with the things of this world. And God says, you don't have to do that. You have a choice. If you're in Jesus Christ and you allow Him to change you, you have choices in your life. Your job can be a job with purpose. What is your job? What are the things that you do in this world? He also says in verse 29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. We speak. We will learn to speak with intent. When we're mature, there's a reason for speaking. Sometimes if you sit back and listen to someone talk, you wonder after a little bit, what in the world are they talking about? Do you ever think that way? Do you ever go, would you please refrain from opening that hole below your nose? You want to say that sometimes. I have no idea what you're talking about. Do you have any idea what you're talking about? There are people who will ramble on and on and on and on and have absolutely nothing to say. He says, when you have Christ in your life, your words will be intentional. Your words will have purpose, and that purpose is to edify everyone. He says, you're going to do away with all that unwholesome speech. Those things that really amount to nothing. Those things that are unimportant and insignificant. We're going to learn to do away with those things. We're not going to focus on that stuff anymore. But we're going to choose our words carefully. We're going to choose our words in such a way as to edify those around us. According, he says, literally, according to the need of the moment. We're mature enough to stop in a conversation and go, I know what you need to hear. Sometimes you look a little bit blank and go, I don't have a clue what to say. I don't have any idea what to say in this conversation. But he says in Christ, when those conversations happen, you can stop and you can actually begin edifying that person in that conversation. That's our choice. Our choice, he says in verse 30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. We have a choice to be sealed in the Holy Spirit. We have a choice that the Holy Spirit is ours, that guarantee that was given to us that one day we'll be at home with our eternal Father. We have that choice. That's what maturity will do for us, for this church. It will bring about salvation. It will bring about an understanding of God's great purpose and promises for us in our life. What a powerful choice it is. Maturation process of us as church. In verse 32, and we'll end here. He says, be kind to one another. Tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. We become mature, we become understanding, and we realize that God has forgiven us, and God has blessed us. And so when we're praying or we're talking to God, we can say, God, thank you for having forgiven me. And with a smile on our face, we realize our God loves us, and He's forgiven us, and He's prepared a home for us, and He's ready to welcome us home. But while we're here, He's saying, because of your forgiveness, you be forgiving to one another. It's not always easy, is it? When you run face to face with someone at Walmart that you really don't care for, someone that who has done something, said something to you, is ugly, who's lied about you, who spread rumors about you, or any other kind of thing, and you run into them, how do you feel? Not always tender-hearted towards them. Not forgiving. Not kind. We want to get even. And it's hard. But He says, when you begin maturing, when you mature in Christ, you'll be able to do the exact same thing that Jesus did, just like He did in the garden. Father, let this cup pass from me. I don't want to die for them. I don't want to be separated from you for them, because look at them. They don't deserve it. And a lot of times people in our life don't deserve forgiveness. But He says, I'm going to release you and allow you to forgive, even when someone doesn't deserve forgiveness, to release you. And so Christ said, I know they need it, and I'm going to give myself. Your will, not mine, be done. We need to learn to forgive, just like Christ forgave us. How much different does life look through eyes of maturity than immaturity? How much difference does it look through the eyes of a child as opposed to an adult? So many things change, and we look at things and we've learned lessons, and we look and hopefully we can teach our children some of those really important lessons that they really didn't understand, and we can say, well, let me tell you what you really need to learn out of this. He says, that's the church. That's the maturity in Jesus Christ that will happen spiritually. We'll understand those deep truths of God. When we become united in the church, we will become mature people who can make very, very mature choices in our life. How powerful can the church be when it is mature, when it is fitted properly together? I know that we struggle with daily, we struggle with maturity. We struggle with making the right choices. But God has always given us the strength to do it. God has given us the reason to be mature. God has given us the ability in Jesus Christ to be mature. His church, He demands of us to be grown up, to be adults and no longer children, tossed to and fro. But look at how beautiful the picture. When the body becomes united and we're all mature, all of the differences, how much can we make in our community? What a powerful force this body is and can be. Are you mature? When you look at yourself in the reflection of your own life and you begin evaluating who you are and who you've chosen to be, are you mature in Christ, making all those choices that God has given you the power to make? It begins with acknowledging Christ as the Lord of your life. And if you haven't done that, there's no better time than right now to name Him as the Lord of your life. To be immersed into Him, into His possession, to receive all the power that comes with it. If we make that commitment. That's where it begins. But some of us have been there and we're still struggling with a little bit of things, and maybe it's forgiveness, maybe it's whatever it is you're struggling with. If you are, then give that life. Become mature and say, I'm not going to live like this world. I'm going to live in Jesus Christ and allow Him to guide me and lead me. That's the power we receive of being in Christ. Following Him. Is that where you are? If not, if we can do anything for you this morning, if we can help you in that decision, in that life choices, we'd love to do it. In any way, you need to respond to the invitation. Why don't you do it right now while we stand and we sing.
Bring me. My sins to thee, again I cannot.